Computers automate a lot of what government does, but it still takes people to tend to the computers, especially to ward off cybersecurity attacks. So how does it work when there's a lapse in appropriations? Here in studio with some answers, Greg Tuhill, former federal chief information security officer, now president of the federal group at Sixterra Technologies. Greg, good to have you back.
Hey, good morning, Tom.
So how does it work for federal data centers? I mean, they've got to be considered essential. Do they stay fully staffed?
No, they don't stay fully staffed. And it's important for everyone to understand that your federal data is in a lot of different places. First of all, it can be on-premise in a data center that's run by the government. It could be co-located in a commercial data center, such as what we at Sixterra offer. Or it could be somewhere in the cloud with one of the many cloud providers that are out there. I would never encourage anyone to try to attack the United States of America and its information. But that said, we are accepting some significant cyber risk.
And how does that risk, what's the form of it? How does it work?
Well, you know, frankly, as we take a look at how information is managed, stored, processed, retrieved, archived, and the like, it still requires people, and not just any people. Skilled people are required to actually manage the systems that handle the treasure trove of information that the government is the custodian of. Things like network monitoring, configuration control, patch management, and the like are some of those key skill sets that we need to have people operating 24/7 to make sure that we maintain the integrity of the people's information.
So who is left at data centers? Just people to make sure that the machines are operating, but a lot of the developmental work stops?
Yes, absolutely. We see a lot of folks when we go into caretaker status, and every department and agency has their own contingency plan. And unfortunately, those contingency plans are tailored specifically to those department and agency missions. So I can't say that uniformly everyone across the departments and agencies have made the same decisions as to who is key and essential. But I think as you take a look at the larger departments and agencies, that risk is less of a risk because they have more resources to draw off of and can allocate emergency essential functions to some of those cyber tasks. The smaller agencies, they're behind the power curve, and many of them is where the greatest risk is exposed.
And those developmental activities, the designing of digital services, modernizing, that all comes to a halt most likely.
In almost every occasion, new starts, new developments, and the like are put on the back burner until the shutdown is done.
Now, before working for the White House briefly at the end of the Obama administration, you had come from Homeland Security, mm-hmm. where you did the NCIC. And before that, you were in the Air Force doing cybersecurity. Let's talk about Homeland Security.
Well, as a result of previous shutdowns, when I was at the Department of Homeland Security, we updated and refreshed our contingency operations plan in the event of a shutdown to make sure that the NCIC, the National Cybersecurity and Communications Integration Center, did in fact maintain capabilities to monitor the federal.gov environment through the use of the Einstein system and other tools that we had out there. And we further made sure that we had access for our incident response personnel from the U.S. CERT and the Industrial Control System, CERT. So from a DHS standpoint in my office, I thought we were well prepared. As we took a look across the entire department, a lot of folks were still on duty because of the national security implications. And similarly, in the Department of Defense, because of the national security implications and under the guidance that was put out by the Office of Management and Budget, both the Department of Defense and DHS were much better postured than some of the non-national security departments and agencies that are out there.
We're speaking with Greg Tuhill, former federal chief information security officer, now president of the federal group at Sixterra Technologies. So it sounds like you're saying lessons were learned from the 2013 shutdown. You feel that there might be some advancement in sophistication now since 2013?
Well, I think so. In many of the departments and agencies, there were a lot of lessons learned from the 2013 shutdown that we tried incorporating in there. But that said, I don't have confidence that across all departments and agencies, those same lessons learned were equally applied throughout all the departments, agencies, and bureaus that are out there.
And since 2013, of course, as you mentioned or alluded to, much more federal resource has moved to the cloud across the government, including DOD. So that might really mitigate in favor if you can maybe even shut down a government-owned data center but still have the functionality in the cloud. Then cloud providers don't lay off people because there's a federal shutdown.
I agree. To some extent, you know, if you're going into a commercial cloud provider and the federal government does business with all of them, it becomes a must-pay bill at the, you know, for the government. But it also provides a level of continuity in administrative support and the things that you need to actually run and provide the services. But let's not forget that the government people that are running those systems, as well as providing content, those are the ones that often are going to be furloughed or put in hiatus during these shutdowns. So no new content, and often when you're buying cloud service, you're still retaining administration responsibilities, patch management, configuration control, and the like. So depending on your contract, you could still be in a world of hurt.
Is it even possible to put online systems such as we understand them today, even data centers that are not static entities, can they be put in some state where they can be quickly reactivated to full capacity, or is that some things can't be shut down?
Absolutely. You know, as we take a look at data centers, regardless of whether it's on-premise in a government facility or if it's in a commercial facility like we have in Sixterra, there's going to be continuity of operations. And that's an emergency essential function. And regardless of whether you're in the commercial or in a federally owned and managed facility, those type of people who are going to make sure that the power, the light, the systems are sustained and capable of doing their mission are going to be online. It's where you take that next step and you're changing content, you're doing the patches and configuration that you need to incorporate into your contingency plans.
Yeah, so in many ways, a shutdown or a partial shutdown should be looked at as a continuity of operations exercise almost.
Yes, it's in many cases, you view this as a political threat, just like you would a natural disaster threat or a man-made disaster or the like. In this environment, in the federal government, it's a fact of life issue that you need to plan for this. And good chief information security officers do, in fact, make sure that they plan for events like this and they have their contingency plans in place and practiced.
Greg Tuhill is former federal chief information security officer, now president of the federal group at Sixterra Technologies. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Tom.
We'll post this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive. Subscribe to all of our interviews at iTunes or Podcast One.